Well, good morning to everyone. And that was not a misprint in your bulletin. Yes, Wendell Hershberger is bringing the message. It was kind of, once again, the way the Lord works with everything that everyone shared this morning, how it ties right in with what God has laid on my heart to share this morning. What was going to cause you, or what caused you not to want to share with people, not to want to share with church during the praise and worship time? What is it that causes us to hold it all in? Let me hear. What comes to your mind? What keeps us from doing that? The fear. So God this morning, you know, with last 2 weeks, you know, as I've been kind of studying this, and I just felt, you know, I wanted to share something on fear, the different types of fear we face as a Christian. There's so much, you know, and fear can be a good thing. I'm going to talk about two kinds of fear today. Everyone's scared of something. I could go around the room, ask each and every one of you, and whether you like it or not, there's something you're afraid of. I don't think there's anyone in here. We, us as men, you know, we all try to be tough and say, you know, I'm not scared of nothing, you know. But deep down inside, there's something we're afraid of. This title here, No Fear, I had to think, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, any of you who can go back to then, used to be signs on trucks, shirts, everything that said, no fear. And these are probably some of the scariest people on the road. I mean, just, I used to have a shirt that said, no fear. I didn't know why I wore it, but I was cool. Had a no fear shirt. But we're all afraid of some things. I had to confront one of my fears again yesterday. It's been about, March, it'll be 2 years since I was a human marshmallow and decided to burn myself one day. But yesterday I had to clean up some stuff in the field and had this huge pile of brush I needed to burn again. Well, I don't mind fire, but I don't like lighting it anymore. And I had to got this here, and so I went and poured this lighter fluid on there and stood there a little while thinking, I don't want to do this. But I realized after standing behind a tree and throwing matches from 100 feet, it wasn't going to get lit, so I had to confront my fear and actually walk up there and get this fire going. And we've all, the reason we're scared and the reason we have fear in our lives is because we've all been burned in one way or another, whether it's somebody you talked to and they rejected something you said, whether you were made fun of, whether you just don't feel like you are good enough to talk to somebody. There's a fear inside of us, and that comes from being afraid. Children are ones that definitely would, they're not afraid to say they're afraid. I come up with this statistic thing in the 70s. Children were afraid of animals, being in the dark, being in a dark room, high places, strangers, and loud noises. Today, the same survey was done, and the children are afraid of divorce, nuclear war, cancer, pollution, and being mugged. So, as time goes on, our fears kind of change. But I want to read a chapter, and it comes out of the story I'm going to look at this morning that I want to tie all this together is the story of David and Goliath. And we've all heard this story since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. It's the favorite underdog story, you know, the little man going up against the big man. But there's something to be learned through this, not necessarily through David, but in the story, we'll see it here. The story is found in Samuel, but the whole chapter, it's quite a long chapter that goes through the story. It's found in 1 Samuel 17, but I have got it in a story form here. And I'm going to read this here for sake of time of reading the whole chapter of Samuel 17 here, and then look at some different areas in this story and also in our lives, you know, the way we want to confront fear. The Philistine army had gathered to war against Israel. The two armies faced each other, camped for battle on the opposite sides of a steep valley. The Philistine giant, measuring over 9 feet tall and wearing full armor, came out each day for 40 days, mocking and challenging the Israelites to fight. His name was Goliath. Saul, the king of Israel, and the whole army were terrified of Goliath. One day, David, the youngest son of Jesse, was sent to the battle lines by his father to bring back news of his brothers. David was probably just a young teenager at the time. While there, David heard Goliath shouting his daily defiance and saw the great fear stirred within the men of Israel. David responded, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" So David volunteered to go fight this giant Goliath. It took some persuasion, but King Saul finally agreed to let David fight against the giant. Dressed in his simple tunic, carrying his shepherd's staff, slingshot, and a pouch full of stones, David approached Goliath. The giant cursed him, hurling threats and insults at him. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands." As Goliath moved in for the kill, David reached into his bag and slung one of his stones at Goliath's head. Finding a hole in the armor, the stone sank deep into the giant's forehead, and he fell face on the ground. David then took the giant Goliath's sword, killed him, and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. So the Israelites pursued, chasing, killing them, and plundering their camp. That's kind of a summary of what 1 Samuel 17 is. Now, why are they waiting 40 days? You think about it, that's a month and 10 days they're waiting, listening to this man just defy their army. Why is it taking them so long? Their leader, their king Saul, is the next probably biggest man in Israel that time. Goliath is over 9 feet tall. Saul was getting up there, getting close to being the same size of a man he was. He wasn't going out there. All these men on the hillsides, they weren't going out there. They were all scared. They had a fear in them. David comes in at, you know, 5'6", 150 pounds, somewhere in there. If you imagine, just, I don't picture David as a big person. I just picture him as a small individual. But David did not look at this man through these eyes right here. He looked at him through God's eyes. This was a giant man. But he was nothing. He was just an ordinary man to God. And that's the way David seen him. When David asked about going to fight this man, you know, story, Bible, Saul, you know, he wanted him to wear, he said, "Here, you know, you got to wear my armor. You know, this will at least keep you safe. You know, we'll be able to keep all your pieces together." David said, "No, I don't want that. You know, I want to go out just like this." Saul, you know, I can just see him. "All right, you know, go ahead. I told you, I warned you. Go ahead. You know, nobody else wants to do it. Might as well send you." David had unique skills, and I don't think he had awards hanging on the tree where he kept his father's sheep, saying he was the best slingshot thrower in that area. You know, David had a skill, obviously, but it wasn't something that I think he was the best around at. He was just taking what skills God had given him, and he wasn't afraid to use them to defeat this man. And I had to think about that. You know, God has given each one of us skills, unique skills, individual skills. We shouldn't be afraid to use them. David wasn't. We shouldn't be. when this giant was coming at David, so often the case in us, people insult us, people hurt our feelings. Didn't bother David. Shouldn't bother us. It does. We're human. We can't deny. Words hurt. Only God's opinion mattered to David at this time. He had one thing that was in his mind, and that was, God's going to take care of me. He wasn't afraid of what this giant could and looked like he was going to do to him. He knew that God was going to take care of him. So David was not afraid. When we look at fear, two kinds of fear. There's a fear that is good and a fear that is bad. We're all familiar with the fear that is good. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. I had to tell a little story. When I was with the youth group, we went to camping one year, and I was hoping this person would be here today so I could at least, wouldn't feel bad about telling it, but he's not, so it won't matter. We decided we were going to go bungee jumping. So a bunch of us, you know, decided we were going to go up there and go bungee jumping. So we went there, and several of us went up there, got up there, and, you know, it takes a little bit when you're 80, 90 feet in the air to just let yourself fall off this tower. And even though there's this huge balloon below you, you know, it's a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear inside of you. And Timmy won't mind if I tell you about this story, so I'll just go ahead and tell you it was Timmy. But he goes up there, and, you know, we kind of persuaded him he needed to bungee jump with us. So he goes up there, they strap everything on, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. And he gets to the edge there, and he just stands there. And you know, we're all down there looking up, you know, encouraging him, and he stands there. And we're still down there encouraging him, and he stands there. And so we didn't know whether to keep encouraging or go get lunch, but he finally, after coaxing and the guy up there finally telling him, look, either you're going to jump or you're going to walk back down. He finally jumped, and so our encouragement helped. But why did he not just walk up there and jump right off? It was a fear inside of him. He was scared of the height. That's a good fear to have. A good fear keeps you from walking to the edge of a 500-foot drop-off and just walking out there and going, oh, that's not bad. That's a good fear. The fear of snakes, that's a good fear. You don't teach your kids, look, there's a snake, go up and pet that thing. You know, that's not going to hurt you. That's you teach your children, and we all have fears, and there's fears that are good to have that protects us. There's also fears that are bad. That is, when we have the spirit of fear, fear paralyzes us from doing things that we know we should do. If Tommy would have been paralyzed with the spirit of fear this morning, or paralyzed with a fear this morning that only Satan brings to share, he would have not shared this morning. And he probably fought that fear when he was knowing he should tell these gentlemen about his relationship and who had answered these prayers to him. That was probably a fear. He didn't want to do this. And that doesn't come from God. That only comes from Satan. Why does Satan, what is the purpose of fear? What is the purpose of fear? Satan is a master at using our fears to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. It makes our life miserable. You know, a person who is always scared, always afraid of something, their life is miserable. The story is told of Hetty Green, and some of you might have heard of this lady. It was back in the early 1900s, and her estate was valued at over $100 million. And back in the early 1900s, that would be an astronomical amount. When she died in 1916, she left an estate valued at $100 million, but she was so miserable and miserly that she ate cold oatmeal in order to save the expense of heating water. When her son had a severe leg injury, she took so long trying to find a free clinic to treat him that his leg had to be amputated because of advanced infection. Was she a happy woman? Probably not. She was probably miserable because she was always thinking people were out to get her. We all know the so-called worry warts in the world. These not people, they live in a constant fear. Why does Satan, he uses these things to make us so ineffective in our Christian lives. If we don't share our faith, it's because of what? It's because of fear. And I like to use the phrase that they used in Take Back Your Life seminar. You know, if I share my feelings or if I share my testimony, what are they going to think of me? What did they say? Who said that? That's not God putting that in your mind. That's Satan. And we know that an agreement with Satan, in a sense, is sin. That's the way it is. What if I mess up? Who cares if you mess up telling somebody your testimony? I mean, I'd rather mess up telling somebody about Jesus than turn the other way and not tell them anything at all. Who said that? That's the key. When you have these fears, doubts come into your mind, you have to think, who's putting them there? Satan loves to use these different angles to strike fear into us. When we're asked to do something, you know, teach a Sunday school, you know, be a mentor, a Sunday school teacher, help out in school, help out in the nursery, just help in any way. We all have, as David had, you know, we all have individual talents. We have different things that God has given us. But don't be afraid to use them. Fear, you know, it keeps us from serving God. Satan's method for using fear, he uses our sins in the past. We say, man, if I say something to this person, they're going to bring up what I've done in the years past. This is not God putting this in us. This is Satan. He uses the potential failure. None of us want to fail. I don't care at what we do. No man, woman, child, boy, girl wants to fail at anything. But Satan loves to use the fear of failure to keep us from doing this. He uses criticism. I go up to somebody and say, man, I just want to say, appreciate what you did. Oh, you know, you didn't. I didn't need you to tell me that, you know. I knew I did a good job, you know. You don't need to tell me that. You know, you're being criticized, you know, it hurts you a little bit. Satan uses these things to keep us. The next time we go up to somebody, that's going to be in our mind. We're going to think, man, last time I did this, they rejected me. They criticized me. I don't want to do it no more. So all these different things are things only from Satan in fear. How? We know what fear is. How do we overcome it? What does God give us in the Bible? What does God show us, tell us, lay it out for us, how to overcome this fear? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That means anything God wants me to do. God gave us the first thing is a power to be saved. And power is something that God has given us a gift of power to overcome these fears. The power to be saved. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we hit our knees and accept God into our lives, God gives us the power to overcome fear. Doesn't matter what kind of fear it is. God gives us the power to overcome this. The power to be a witness for Him. We can't be a witness for God if we don't have step one, if we're not saved. So when we become saved, God not only gives us the power to overcome fear, He gives us power for... There's many different things, but only three or four I have here that I, you know, looked at and wanted to talk a little bit about here. The power to be a witness for Him. A lot of you used it, you know, this past weekend when we were at the prison crusade. You know, use the power God gave you to go into these prisons, you know, talk to these people. A lot of people, you know, that they can't, tell people, yeah, I went to the prison. You went where? To the prison? You know, it's unheard of. You know, people just, they think, man, you know, how can you go in and do something like that? But this is a power God gave us, a power to be joyful. As this Hetty Green was, you know, she wasn't a joyful lady. God gave us a power to be joyful. A person who is not joyful is going to have a lot of fears, and that's what robs us from this joy. The power to endure trials. We're all going to have trials, whether it's day-to-day struggles, spiritual struggles. They're all gonna come. They're all gonna be there. But God is, and once again, that's Satan that puts it there. But God has given us His power to overcome it. Next thing here that it is, and there's two things I have: the gift of power and also the gift of love. And you think how? And I, when I was kind of studying this, I was like, how? Now wait a minute here: love, power, you know, fear. How does this go together? Because you think of love and fear, you don't really put them two together. And I was thought about this a little bit last. What was last Saturday? What day was last Saturday? Valentine's Day. See, almost y'all forgot it already. You know, women always look forward to Valentine's Day. Some men do too. Most men just think it's a day that florists created to make extra money. But we went to the prison, and supposed to be gone, you know, from daylight to dark. We had a long day planned anyway. Things got turned around, canceled, and the day before. So, you know, we were thinking, you know, I'll be gone Valentine's Day. You know, shall I buy it before or wait till the day after and get it for half off? So, anyway, things get canceled, and we end up getting home at, you know, 3-4 Saturday afternoon. Valentine's Day is three quarters over with, and I still haven't got nothing. So on the way home, I think, well, you know, I better go. I'm just beating myself up. You know, why didn't I get something Friday? You know, it's dumb. You know, I'm a horrible husband. You know, just so I go out there and just, you know, beating myself, kicking myself the whole way. You know, here it is, basically, the Valentine's Day is almost over, and I haven't even gotten my wife nothing yet. So I just, as I pull into the store there, I'm like, there comes another vehicle. I'm like, oh, there's somebody I know. You know, good. At least I'm not the only one. So get in there, and I see 8, 10, 12 people I know all buying stuff at the last minute. You know, so, you know, and what did they have? They had a fear of going home without nothing. you know, it was, they might have not got chewed out, but you know them eyes when you come in there. They didn't get nothing today? Yeah. No, it's not. You know, this is what I thought of when I thought of love and fear is, you know, the love we think about of Valentine's Day. And it, in a sense, it's the same love, but God has given us a gift of love that is very effective in conquering fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And there's one key in this, and that is the more we love God, the less fear we will have. Simple. It's one sentence. You know, the more we love God, And we can't say, you know, oh, I love God, and after I leave church today, close my Bible and pick it up again next Sunday morning when I come to church. We might think we love God, but we're not getting to know Him any better. We're still going to have these same fears in our life come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday that we faced the week before, because we are not getting to know God. We are not putting our faith and our hope in God. The more we get to know God, the more we love God, the less fears we will have. When I was growing up, I didn't have to fear about going to the supper table and there was nothing there. That's just, we didn't have that fear. You know, there was always going to be food to eat. I trusted in my dad. You know, I didn't never had to question him and whether we were going to have something to eat. Didn't have that fear. But if I would, and there's many people in the world today, you know, show up and there's nothing there, and they have a fear of, you know, just they don't know where their next meal is coming from. But God relieves all of our fears in many ways. The love of others. This is talking about me, you, the person beside you, you know, us, the church, you know, our neighbors, our friends. Love causes us to tell others about Jesus. The more we love others, the less fear we will have. Love causes us to overcome our fears for the good of others. If I know of something and I truly love this person, the fear is going to keep me from sharing to this person. But love and fear, you have to weigh it out in your life. One's going to overtake another. If you fear this person, you're never going to share with this person. You're going to live in that. The perfect love that God has given us will give us the ability to go talk to this person. So love can cast out fear. Love is, a lot of times we think fear is more of a stronger than love, but love is much more stronger and can cast out any fear that we have in our lives. So the two things that we have here is, you know, the different types of love here. The one love that is good, the different types of fear. You have the one fear that is good for you, protects us. Like I say, we have to have fears of some things because that's for our own good. There's also the fear that can harm us. And this is just kind of summarizing, you know, what we went over a little bit. When we do not talk, encourage, witness, share our testimonies, that's a fear. And like I said earlier, you know, I can't share because I'm afraid of what people think. You know, who said that? That's only Satan. That is only Satan. That's not something that God give you just to keep, you know, keep you honest, keep you from running your mouth. That is Satan. There's no two ways around that. Who is the giant, or what is the giant, as this Goliath was for David, for me, for you? Who's the giant in our lives? What is a giant in our lives? Is there one thing, one person that we just cannot get around? It every day it comes to us, every week it comes to us, we hear it, we see it, just as this giant shouted from this mountain every day. It was there. We have fears in our lives that come every day. Some of them may be small, but not taken care of, they can grow into something huge. What do we have in our life that needs to be taken care of? God has given us the gift of power to overcome this. God has given us the gift of love to overcome this. It's not something you can do by yourself. If you say, oh, I'm going to handle this, forget about it. It's not going to happen. You got to quit looking at it through our eyes and start looking at it through what God sees it as. Because if we try to handle it on ourselves, we will never get it done. God will and promise to help us through all these fears in our lives. So don't waste the opportunity to show somebody the love and show Satan that you do not give in to fear. Because anytime you can show love to somebody, you're putting a fear behind you. you're putting Satan behind you, and that's the best place for Satan to be, is behind us. Don't ever want him in the front keeping us from between somebody. So this is all I have. I trust that this week, you know, when we go into our daily jobs, our daily tasks, when Satan confronts us with something, a fear in our life, I don't want to do that. That's out of my comfort zone. That's Satan and only Satan. Overcome that fear. God can help you do it through power and through love. Let's all stand. Dear Lord, thank you again for this day you have given to us. Thank you for your many blessings to us, Lord. Thank you for Jesus and what he did at Calvary for us. Lord, as we face fears and struggles and in our lives, Lord, help us to overcome them, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement this week to somebody. You know, Lord, it's sometimes hard to encourage people when there's so much bad around us and we see so much going on, read about it, hear about it. But Lord, help us just be an encouragement this week. Show the gift of love, Lord. Thank you for each and everyone here this morning and everyone that's traveling, the ministers, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.